And I, like most of you, carry my baggage with me everywhere. See, so so as I begin to talk, well, let me clarify something here. My baggage speaks to me. You know, you got to go into the supernatural here a little bit with me. I mean, but I hear it clearly. I hear it every day. I hear it. And I came to talk about the baggage of guilt. If you hear my chains and I get wrapped up in them, that happens to me once in a while. And they do clatter against things, so I'll try to keep that at a minimum as I move around. But guilt, as I was really beginning to tear this apart and talk about it, guilt says, I can't come up there alone because I've got some different companions that go along with it for me. Someplace along the line, in a church, I was handed a bunch of keys. And they said they would unlock all these locks and set me free, but, you know, I've had this baggage with me a long time. Some of this baggage I had since first memories, since being a child, since growing up. And I grew up in a fairly dysfunctional home, so I might have a little bit more baggage than some of you. And some of you may outbag me. I mean, I'm just so these keys, even though they're might set me free, I'm not sure I want to use them. But they're always there to remind me that there's freedom there if I want, okay? So let me introduce a few of these guys. And they become your friends after a while. They've been with you so long. They know you. They know when to speak to you at the right times. They know how loud to speak to you. They know with the emphasis in the right spots. And they're really good at that. So I call them friends because I've had most of them for me most of my life, and they've influenced me in my life decisions and a lot of my travels. So the first guy I'm going to introduce to you is guilt. This guy right here is called guilt. And guilt has been with me since a very young age. And his name means, I did something wrong. And therefore, I get to carry around guilt with me. For at a very young age, I was convinced I did something wrong. And he's my companion, and he lets me know all the time when I do things wrong. And if you've ever met him, if you've met somebody like him, he lets you know, because they're all kind of the same. They're kind of minions type of thing, you know? I think I've seen that, and those minions all kind of say the same thing. And you know what? He is good at details. He can give me the minute details of all the information. But you know what's cool about these guys? They tell me I have freedom. See, I can go as far as right there before I got to start dragging them. See, so I got a little bit of room here, and that's, you know what? That's pretty freeing to know that I can move around, and I got freedom. You guys over here want to see my freedom? But, you know, after a while, the older I get, I find these guys, this chain gets heavy. Even the piece of baggage that I'm carrying gets heavy. And so I got to work a little bit longer, got to be a little more stronger, got to get my rest, eat my veggies, and do all the proper things. So the next guy I want to introduce down here, his name's Shame. Shame. See, these guys come as a package. Guilt says, I will not come unless I can bring my buddies with me. Because we have been together in your life, Bert, for so long. So guilt and so shame come along, so I want to introduce him to you. He has sold me on the idea that there is something wrong with me. And I can see it. I can look in the mirror and I can see clearly that I got things to be ashamed of. I can see clearly that I've got broken edges and things don't look so good. And I know he's right because he's been telling me these things since I was just a small boy. He's been whispering in my ear. Guilt's been right in there alongside him, enforcing him and holding him up. And they've been very convincing to me. So why wouldn't I believe something I've known from childhood? He even told me this morning that I shouldn't get up here in front of you guys because you would see I'm not qualified. And I'd just make a mess and be ashamed of what I'm doing up here this morning. That happened as early as this morning. He's a slippery fella. And he talks in that tone of voice that's convincing. And I listen to him. Let me introduce you to the next guy over here. This guy's called condemnation. So we got guilt, we've got shame, and I'm going to introduce you to condemnation. He's been with me a long time, too. He has convinced me that I'm broken. And it's true. I'm that cracked pot, as they talk about. I'm that broken limb out there. I'm that dysfunctional fella who came from the dysfunctional family. And he also says that you all can see my dysfunction. And you talk about me in the corners. You're the ones in the corners that are pointing fingers and whispering. And when I look your way, you kind of drop your hand down like, I wasn't pointing at you, Bert. I wasn't condemning you. I wasn't letting you see that I was talking about you. But he told me you were. So I'm convinced, I believe, I embrace it. But it's okay, they've been around a long time. I'm getting used to living around them. I really am. So the last one down here, the last but not least, and do you see how they've reinforced their chains through the years? These ain't small chains that just anybody can snap. If you're going to break one of these chains, you got to be made of some, as they say, metal. You got to have some moxie. You got to have it. And the last one down there, I want you to meet is regret. So we got guilt, we got shame, condemnation, and regret. And last but not least is regret because, you know what? I can't remember a time he ain't been around as well. When I could really start making some good, solid decision. Now science says I can't do that till I'm 25 as a male. Okay, so but before that, I began to form these things, and I feel pretty sure I made a solid that he could be with me and I could regret things. He's been a childhood friend. He has brought so much to my life. Some of the things he's brought has been sorrow. And I'm getting used to sorrow. I like sorrow. It kind of has that comforting feeling. Kind of puts me in that trance. Disappointment. Man, I can talk about disappointment. I bet we could sit down and have coffee across the table and we could talk about some disappointments this morning. Remorse. Oh, man. Oh, remorse. And you know what? He likes to flash all the stagnant dreams that I used to have. He likes to throw them up at me. And they're very picturesque. I don't know whether technology has caught up and he's got her down like the world or he's just creative or my mind's just you know, been with him so long that he knows what to show me. So welcome to my friends. Give him a big hand and thank him for being here this morning. Yeah, that's as crazy as me talking about these guys talking to me, but definitely I can hear them. And they got a hold of me. Now, I was at a church service one time where they said, this guy Guilt has a cousin. And his cousin's name is Godly Sorrow. And the preacher began to talk about that godly sorrow and how that could lead me to repentance. And I really tuned in that day. And then I began to soak that into my soul. And there's quite a battle between the cousins. They really don't like each other. They're not kissing cousins by no means. They're the kind of the worn cousins, okay? And then he also, that same preacher said that this condemnation, he has a cousin as well. And his name is conviction. That cousin is the conviction of the Holy Spirit. So between the godly sorrow and the conviction, that's the day I found salvation. Now, I am a man of God. I am set free. I am saved. But I'm still tied down to a lot of baggage. Somehow, are you guys getting that? Oh, yeah. I got all the freedom I want in Christ as long as I drag my baggage with me. We can go anywhere. These things have been, they've been such good friends that I hate to let them go, but they're kind of a problem. Okay, there's times I want to take a cruise and go with my wife and walk intimately on the beach holding hands and stuff. But that doesn't work so well because these things get in the way. I can't even get close to her to hold her hand. You know, I can't get that intimate connection because I can't quite get past all my baggage. Family reunions. Holy smokes. Bring these guys into family reunions. Man, you want to set up a turkey dinner. I'm telling you what, this is the way to do it. You bring them in there. And church. I drag these babies to church every Sunday. And they get sanctified and they get redeemed and they get filled with the Holy Spirit. Then we go out and do our business the rest of the week. And it's interesting how these guys color my world. How they changed my view. Because I carry all this baggage, I probably see the world differently than you do. Because I tote these guys around with me. Now it all started with a little guilt. But his buddies just came along because they fit so well. They were like fingers of a glove. I mean, they covered something, each one of them. And they spoke so clearly, so precisely. And they had a plan. And the baggage of guilt gets tough when I begin to look back and see that there's painful regret. I begin to starts here with guilt, and then I can jump over here to regret and go, if I'd have only, if I could have. If I would have, why didn't I chase after Jesus then? Why didn't I treat my wife better? Why didn't I do this raising my kids? Why didn't I, when I was offered that job, why didn't I take that one? I mean, and it could start out so small for me. The next thing I know, it's big and it's painful and it's cutting my heart. It's wounded me. And I live like I'm wounded. I shy away from new things that come because, you know what, I've messed so many other things up that I don't have the courage to take on another new thing. I don't have the tenacity. I don't have that eye of the tiger anymore, as they say, as Rocky would say, you know. I can hear the music in my head. And I want that to play, and I just can't rise up to it. When he comes along, when these guys get on me, I'm living like I'm looking in the rearview mirror continually. That's that life is back there, and I go, what if I would have took that road? What if I? And I'm really losing perspective of what's in front of me and what I'm here to do and what Jesus has called me to do, because I'm still trying to figure out why I let all these other things go. And I'm probably not getting across. You guys probably don't have this problem, or any of these guys. You probably never met these guys in your own lives, so you're just hearing the stories of a rambling old guy. Who's up here and the Holy Spirit's upon him, I pray, because I was telling one of the brothers, the Holy Spirit's got to lead this morning, because if you're listening to me, you're just hearing a bunch of stories. But if the Holy Spirit's involved, you're going to hear something that you might be able to take home and grab a hold of. When you hold on to this baggage of guilt, it fatigues you. These guys, you know, they want to be friends, and they want to, it's kind of like having a grandson. I call the squirrel the talking squirrel back there. That dude can talk so much and have so much energy that he wears you out. And that's what happens to these guys. You know, grandfatherhood's great, but man, they can talk you into a hole. They can talk you onto the couch into a coma. and that's what life happens. That's what happens in life when these guys begin to they begin to just pound you with information on how broken you are and who's seeing and who's pointing the finger and what a louse you are, Bert, and on and on. And I got to believe them because I grew up with them. They're telling me the gospel. Why would they lie to me? They've been around forever. Well, at that church service that I talked about where I got saved, I was given a key, but I'm not sure it really works. I'm not sure I really want free from all of this stuff. Because it's familiar. I like the familiar. I like the things that are hard and mundane, and even though it hurts sometimes, I know what to expect here. I don't have to deal with the unexpected, the unknown out there. When you don't allow God to come in and forgive you of all of these sins, all of these things. Since I haven't allowed God to come in and drop these chains and teach me how to lose this key and how to let these guys go and turn my back on them, it's cost me a lot. The debt. See, I'm not convinced the debt in my heart. I'm not convinced in my heart of hearts that the debt that Jesus paid on the cross equals what I'm going to have to give up here. Because this is going to be a heavy debt for me to give this stuff up. You guys think I'm kidding? This is serious stuff for me to let go. I mean, this is my childhood. This is my growing up. This was our family dysfunction. This is my dysfunction to my family. This is the dysfunction of me going to work and messing things up. This is the dysfunction of, let me tell you a story. Boy, time goes fast when you're having fun. Let me tell you a story of something that happened to me in another state at another time. I was kind of appointed as the men's pastor at this small church. And I had a gentleman come in to me, and he's caught up in bondage that was huge, sexual bondage. And it pounded on him day after day, and we're talking, and he says, "Will you mentor me?" I said, "Oh, sure, I'll give it a try. I'll do the best." Probably one of my first mentoring jobs out of the gate. So for a year, we sat across the table, and we're working through this curriculum, and he's answering all the right things, you know, and doing all the things. And at the end of each one of them, I asked him, "Are you telling me the truth? Everything we spoke today, is it the truth?" "Yeah, it's the truth." So I'm feeling pretty encouraged. I'm going, "Lord, this is what I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to be a men's pastor. I've always wanted to help men." Well, one day I wake up and open up the newspaper, and my friend was arrested. My friend was arrested for molesting his granddaughter. And guilt, shame, condemnation, and regret came and visited me that day. And I mean, they pounded me. And I said, God, why did you, you know, I had to drag God into it. Why did you let this happen? Why? So that wasn't enough. His wife comes to me. And she says, why did you let him get away with? And I'm devastated. I'm young, inexperienced, stupid, you name it. I mean, I've bought everything these guys have said, and then I've added my own in there. And I'm going, God, what? I didn't even have an answer. I just sat there with my mouth open, you know. I says, I took this on. I embraced this failure, epic failure, because I'm a granddad. I see my grandchildren, and I would lay my life down for them. But to see this, so these things mounted up, and so I went back to the scripture, and I says, God, was this all my fault? You know, help me sort this out. Help me deal with this. If I'm going to move on in any sense of being a help to anybody, myself included, where do I go? And the Holy Spirit began to speak and said, you know what, you did your due diligence. You did what I asked you to do. You know, and that brought some solace to my soul. That brought some peace. That brought some, I'm okay with moving on. But it was a long time before I quit listening to the strong voices of failure, condemnation, the finger pointing. Man, I'd see their car in the parking lot, his wife's car, and I'd turn around and go the other way. I would keep distance, you know. The fear of confrontation, the fear of all of these things. But I thank God that I don't have to carry that today. I thank God that I got all this freedom going on here, man. Look at that baby. See, I've learned how to, I got something to mess with when I'm bored, you know. I got it. I got it going on here. So, so we need to begin to put the bags down. I need to begin to think about using this key and trying this out. You know, at least as a trial, at least for a moment. And God's been speaking to me, and He says, When I lay this down, if I learn how to unlock this, oh, wrong key. It's not going to work very good. I don't know what I did with the other one. I got another one here somewhere. Did I put it on the pole? You're very observative. Thank you so much. See, iron sharpens iron. And we help each other out. So if I'm going to do this, Jesus says, here's a few promises if you will unlock that thing. And, you know, I'm kind of excited about this, and I'm kind of nervous about this, because I think this thing grew into me. See, there's some cool sounds that go with freedom. You know, everybody just take just a moment and listen. See? Jesus began to tell me that as I drop this stuff, it's going to begin to change how I relate to people. I'm going to begin to look at you and, you know what? Now that I know what I know, I want to see the chains and the baggage you're hauling around. Sorry, but that's a gifting that comes with getting free from some of that stuff. I'm going to be able to sit there and when the pain, oh, we got a good friend, some of us, called Ted Roberts, and he says, don't bother coming around until the pain inside of you is as high as the pain on the outside. Then you'll begin to deal with it. But if you think you can cope on one or the other, then you'll continue to cope. But when that pain comes and you're sitting across the table from us having coffee or in one of our classes, our freedom groups here. And by the way, we got some fantastic freedom groups here. We got Freedom in Christ. One of the most classy classes I've taken in a long time to find freedom. And the journey to freedom, I've been peeling off onion skins, ugly Bert, for a lot of years, and I continue to find it. And Freedom in Christ was one of them that really brought freedom to me. We have the Conquer series for men that deals with addictions. We have the seven pillars for men, the seven pillars for women. We've got some really cool stuff going on. If you ever are interested or need it or need to talk to somebody, just come to one of the staff and we'll get you hooked up. So I'm telling you what, that's a lonely life I led there. That's a hard life. See, I pulled my own identity because when you live a life like that and you haul this kind of stuff around, you become hard inside and out. You become tunnel vision. There's the right way, the wrong way, and your way. And it was always my way. See, my dad taught me that because he carried all this baggage too. The problem is my dad never got the opportunity to see that he carried all this baggage. No man would ever come close enough to him to be able to speak straight to his heart and say, Bill Moore, you're carrying a lot of baggage. Because he'd never let anybody within that arm's length. But see, I've got to let brothers in to see my stuff. When we begin to lay the chains down and get free, it changes how we relate to God. A minute ago, as I spoke about walking intimately on the beach with my wife, with this stuff in my life, I could never get intimate with God. I could never get in that quiet, cozy, warm place with God where I could really speak to him and hear him speak back, where I thought he cared. See, because I always thought, God, you're like my dad. You're not going to let anybody within an arm's length of you. You're sitting clear out there. And he says, try me. Try me and see. Try me and see if I won't come and cry with you. Try me and see if I won't hold you in that dark night when you have nowhere else to turn and you're desperate. Try me and see if I won't come to your aid anytime, night or day. Anything, even if you get yourself into this mess, Bert, see if I won't come and be by your side and walk with you through this. He won't always rescue me totally out of it, but he has walked me through many things. And a lot of times he's carrying me. I ain't got the strength to go on alone. It also changes, once I break free from this, how I'm used by God. Oh man, there's nothing greater than becoming a Christian man or woman and having that zeal and wanting to be used. But you're so bound down because I'm told I'm broken. I'm told they're seeing my flaws and they don't want to hear from you. I'm seeing that you're finished, you're washed up, you're done. There's some of you in this audience today think you're done. The enemy has told you that you're washed up, your time's over, your good is sucked out of you, and you're done. And the Holy Spirit says that's a lie from the pit of hell. He says, look at Joshua. I had him started marching up mountains, what, in the 80s? He was up there whooping on people. He was slaying them. He was taking what the Lord had given him. Moses hung out in the back of a desert forever, sunburned and dried up like an old prune, thought he was shot, counting sheep as they jumped across the, well, maybe goats. I don't know what he was doing out there. He still don't know what he was doing out there until the bush came on fire. But he was far from wiped up. There's so many examples. There's so many men and women in our own lives that we can look around and grandmothers and grandfathers and men that continue to carry on. They're not near done. They're not near washed up. So there's only one thing, there's only one result this morning, folks, if you want to change. Again, we go back to the saying around here that we've heard. Change is not change until you change. Thank you. Change is not change until you change something. Change is not change. This won't change until those chains hit the floor and I walk away. Now, maybe I'll come back and pick them back up if I'm not sure and I don't have the surroundings I need and the culture to nurture me onward. But once I got a taste of the freedom, I'm hoping I'm never coming back to this, because that was rough. That's a tough life. That's a heavy life. So the Lord would ask you all this morning, will you give your guilt, your shame, your condemnation, and your regret up to God this morning? Will you just give it up to him and say, hey, I don't know what this is going to look like. I don't know what this is going to feel like. Trust me, you won't be given any loyalty from your family. See, that was a big one for me. I couldn't talk about my family dysfunction. I couldn't bring any of this stuff up. Because what if somebody figured out who my family was? And it made them look. And I was sitting in the mountains in Colorado with my good friend Pastor Jeff. And we're sitting around as a bunch of men talking heart to heart. And these men says, Pastor Bert, your parents are gone. I don't think they even said Pastor Bert. They said, Bert, your parents are gone. And don't you think your dad's looking over the rails and your mom going, whatever it takes to get free, son. Dig them skeletons out and rattle them up and down the streets if you have to. Because all the rows of saints are cheering you on. They want you to get free and move on so you can be free from all the baggage of this life. So this morning, it's up to you. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up, those of you that want to come up and pray, someone who can do some worship for us. And we just want to open these altars up, because it's up to you to lay this thing down. I can't do it for you. Like I said, I can sit and I can point at it for you. I can tell you where your baggage is and what you're carrying at times. But I can't carry it for you. I can't lay it down for you. That's between you and the Lord. And I'm not asking you to do anything great up here. Just come up here and talk to somebody saying, you know what? I related to what Pastor Bert was saying. I saw what he was doing. Those same voices that were talking to him talk to me. And they speak loud and they're crisp and they're clear. That's never been God's plan for you. That's never been the road God has had for you. God wants you to come clean with him this morning. He just wants to come and have a total, intimate, deep relationship with his sons and daughters. Amen. So these altars are open. These are trusted people. They'll love on you. They'll care for you. They'll pray for you. They'll just listen if that's all you want. And everything that's said is totally confidential up here. Okay? So come if you're ready. And we'll come up and close out in just a few moments. Thank you.